Today's reading is out of Luke chapter 10, 25 through 27. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
You know, it's been almost 3 years ago now that we were all impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic that stretched around the world. It had incredible effects on us at the time. Something brand new, a threat that we couldn't quite figure out, didn't really know what to do because we didn't know how it was going to respond. You know, we as a people struggled with that pandemic, you know, how to respond, you know, to gather or not to gather, to mask or not to mask. We struggled with this idea of shutting down schools and shutting down businesses. Why? Because we were fearful. We were stepping into something that was brand new, and we didn't know exactly how to respond. You know, with that pandemic, we experienced something that we've come to call mandated isolation. And while that doesn't get the headlines, it was a very real impact of that pandemic upon us as people. I know there's still a lot of effects going on. There's effects that happened to our economy that is still trying to recover. There's effects that are happening to our schools and to the students whose academic development was stunted. There's all kinds of effects that continue to go on. The virus is still around. And so these effects continue to remain with us, but the effects of this isolation are also very much impacting us still today. There was a mandated separation. Go to your own corners. Go hide behind your own doors. Some of you know this because you probably heard me tell this story before. That part of the pandemic had a personal effect upon me because it was during the pandemic about 3 years ago that my grandmother, Ruth Motts, she was 102 years old, happy and healthy, amazing woman for her age. And as the pandemic came, of course, like everyone else, she experienced this shutdown. The facility she was living in went into lockdown. There was, other than the workers, no coming, no going. And so she began to experience isolation. I mean, we as family could not go visit her. She wasn't too good with technology. Reggie, she was a kindred spirit. And she liked the 49ers, too. But even within the facility, again, that sense of not knowing. I mean, my grandma would have lunch and dinner every day. She'd go down to her dining hall, and she'd have lunch and dinner with the same three ladies. We used to laugh about it because one of the ladies didn't speak English. But it didn't matter because they all just sat and chatted. It was just fun, you know, but it was their socialization. And with the pandemic came no more getting out to the dining room, no more seeing those gals. It was just, you are now locked in your room. Thought of it as almost like a solitary confinement type thing for someone who had done nothing wrong except live a long time. Over the course of the next few months, the lockdown worked in that place because no one had COVID. But then after a while, a little bit of the virus got into her facility, and she was already in the process of dying. She contracted the virus, and she died. But she didn't die from COVID. She died with COVID. Or I should say, I don't think she died because of the virus, but I'm convinced that she died sooner than she should have because of the mandated isolation that cut her off from all the joy of life that family, friends, connections, her lady friends, even if she couldn't understand them, what they brought to her. And I'm not complaining. My gosh, she was 102, almost 103. I'm impressed by that. I don't know that I want to live that long. I mean, I love this place, but I'm looking forward to something better. But there is something in us, in all of us, because we have been made for human contact, and we are healthier, we tend to be happier when we have that in our lives. And even though there's no more forced isolation, you know, a lot of us kind of got out of our normal routines, and a lot of us still have that lingering effect of that isolation on us, don't we? Things have changed. We don't do the same things we used to do. We don't have the same connections that we used to have. We found that it's a struggle for us to rebound and get back to normal. And I think there's a couple of reasons why it's difficult for us to get back to normal. One is because as a culture, we have been drifting away from connection for quite a long time. I mean, just in my lifetime, I've watched it and I see it. How much of the technology that we have now at our fingertips, which was advertised as being a way of connecting better with those around us, has in fact become a detriment to us. I remember the advent of computers and then with the internet and then Facebook. Ooh, we're going to be so much better connected. And then we get a cell phone, smartphone in your pocket that you got connections to all the world. And yet somehow, because of these things, we have been becoming less and less connected. People complain, and as studies show, that there has never been in our lifetime, I bet never in the world, a time of greater isolation and greater professed loneliness. So what's going on? What's going on? It goes before the pandemic. The pandemic has heightened this. But it comes out of the sense of how we were made to be connected. And when things get in the way, we are worse for it. Now, isolation leads to loneliness. And loneliness is real, but it's not new. Back 3,000 years ago, the psalmist wrote this. He says, speaking to God, he cries out and says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." 3,000 years ago, that's before the pandemic, that's before the advent of smartphones. And yet loneliness becomes a part of our human existence. We get busy with things, and the relational things kind of fall away. We get caught up in things, and the relational aspect tends to fall away. We continue to push in this way that tends to drive us farther and farther away from each other. And we don't understand what's going on, except that we feel somehow less secure, less fulfilled, less connected. Oftentimes we feel like we are surrounded by people all the time, and yet still, oddly, more isolated than ever. Disconnected often is how we feel from our relationship with God, but even more, we feel separated from those around us. The Bible has told us from the very beginning that it is good for us to be connected, and yet somehow everything in us tends to pull away from that connection. The very first chapters of the Bible, chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, tells us that it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we understand that in the context of Adam and Eve, and so we often categorize it and just put it away there, but the reality is that truth is real. You look into the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and we are told that two are better than one. the writer goes on to talk about all these reasons that they have a better return for their labor. Two can be more productive. If one falls, the other can pick him up. If two are in a cold place, they can keep each other warm. If two get attacked, they can better defend themselves than one by themselves. All these reasons, but they are all getting at the same point, that we are better together, and yet the world around us works against us, and there's still something even within us that tends to push that away. We tend to isolate because it's easier. Relationships can be a little bit messy sometimes. You know, it's simpler, and I think a lot of us fall into this trap, especially since the pandemic. It's simpler just to stay isolated. It's easier to stay at home than to engage with others. It's easier to go through the drive-through than to even go into the restaurant and sit down. It is easier for us to just kind of be on our own. And sometimes it's because we've been rejected, or we feel a sense of hurt, and so we tend to want to stay away from that which would be hurting. Or maybe it's just the fear of being rejected or hurting that keeps us from entering in. I think that's a big one. Most of us don't recognize it, but it's true. That while we deeply want to be known, we are afraid, let's be honest, that if I'm truly known, maybe you won't like me. Maybe there's something in me that's just kind of messed up. Maybe that fear of being rejected would be manifest, so I'll just keep my arms distance. And we tend to just fill in as best we can. Now, some people are lonely for other reasons. Certainly, there are some, not going to say mandated isolation here, but some people go through seasons which are really difficult. You lose a partner, and there's just a deep loneliness because life that you knew is no longer the same. That's hard. You lose a loved one, and that person's gone, and there feels there's a void. You lose your mobility, and I know a lot of people will go through this, that they struggle with that, that as they begin to lose things, they don't have their driver's license anymore. They may have to go and live somewhere else. You know, they begin to lose some of those connections. But as the church, that's part of what we exist to be. Though we feel disconnected, lonely, and without purpose, what we are called to be is the body of Christ, which is God's solution to that very yearning, that very hunger that we all feel. But the church sometimes doesn't operate in a way that is really, in a healthy way, addressing that. We, because we're a group of people, and people are kind of broken and messed up, present company excluded, of course. But again, this goes right back into the Bible, talks about how it is that we have been wired, made, prepared for this, and it gives us clues how we can operate. So we're going to take a look. Tim read for us that passage out of Luke 10. This is where Jesus is interacting with these leaders. They're wanting to know what's the most important thing in life. How can we inherit eternal life? What can we do that makes us the way God intended for us to be? On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replied by saying, "What is written? How do you read it?" And the guy said, this is profound. Matthew tells us that Jesus spoke these words himself, not in this context, but that Jesus at one point said that you need to love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. But in this point, maybe this guy had heard Jesus already say that, or maybe he came to it himself, but he captures something here. In verse 27, he says, the man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." You see, it gets into this very thing. This is how we as humans were made. We were made for two primary connections. And Jesus' words and Jesus' teaching leads us to this. These connections matter to us. And though we can try to live life without them, we're going to find that we feel isolated and we're going to feel disconnected. We're going to feel without purpose or meaning if we pursue these if we don't pursue these, if we pursue other things in their place. The connections that matter most, according to the scripture, is this: Jesus, that we have a connection in life with Christ, that we are created for this very purpose. And that's what we find when it says we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But also this connection with others. When Jesus says that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, he is giving us a window into our own soul, that this is what it means for us to be truly human, not only connected to with our Creator, but also connected with the other creation that God has put around us. And so many of us feel isolated and broken. You may be here this morning feeling that sense of isolation and brokenness. I know you've got friends who are feeling this in a palpable way, that this is something that they are dealing with every day because they feel this sense of disconnection. And it is important for us as a church to recognize that this is what we are called to do. Not called to simply come for an hour on Sunday morning to sit in a pew with looking at the backs of people's heads. No offense, you've got beautiful backs of your heads. But we are called to love the Lord, and we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. That this gathering together, this encouraging of one another, this time of worshiping and getting our focus straight on our relationship with God is important, but this is not the end all. This is just a piece that should open us to the next level, which is going to be this greater connection, connection with God, connection with one another, that we are called to, because it is here that we're going to find our lives beginning to make sense. But who we connect with is important as well. And this is the other part. I'm saying, it's if you say, can you get connection other places? Of course you can. Human connection is real. Doesn't happen only inside a church building. It can happen anywhere. Doesn't have to happen in the context of Christianity. We have human connection in other places. But this is the way God designed us to have these connections. I love this passage out of Proverbs. Who we connect to matters. Proverbs 13 says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Now, I look through your friend list. I'm not talking about your Facebook friend list. I'm talking about, think about the people on your cell phone, the people you hang out with. Which category do they fall in? Both? It's a fair answer, Scott. I've seen some people you hang out with on Wednesday morning. It's an interesting group. We are invited to be intentional about who we connect with. Because as we hang out with those who have the same values, who have the same sense of purpose, who have the same connection with their Creator, who have the same desire to share that connection with others, as we do that, we will find that we are encouraged to find purpose in our life. That we're not just an accident. We're not just a blob here. We are a purposed being created for that relationship, but also for that ministry, for that mission. But we as a church have a unique function in this. We as a church have this unique function not to develop more programs to make people more busy. This is not, I'm not talking about programs. You know, I have lived my life, my adult ministry life, often in churches where programs are king. And it's just like, you got to do these things, and every good church has these certain programs. I'm going to say this, that you could throw all those programs away, and the world would be no worse off. But if we take connection out of the mix, we will be lost, and lost certainly. There is something that all those programs are trying to do, which was to develop a place where connection could take place. But we as a church need to be intentional about the way that we reach out to others, we care for others, that we develop organic connections, not going to something because we said we're supposed to go. We all been there, right? You go to some things because you have to. That doesn't make connection happen. It just means we eat up our time. But if we focus on the things that enable us to have this connection where we encourage one another and it begins to grow, and that can be something, that can be over coffee, that can be over lunch, that can be over a phone call to someone who is feeling somehow separated. There is something in us that we are called as believers to find that connection, but also to extend that connection, that we are called to be something different than the world understands. Okay, I want to go to one last passage, and I just want to touch on this today because this will be our marching orders for the week. Everyone loves homework, right? Yes. This is your homework. In Hebrews 10, it tells us that we need to hold on unswervingly to the hope that we profess and to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. When we read this, we often focus on this next line, that we should not give up on the meeting together. In fact, I heard people talking about that a lot, especially during the pandemic. Oh, we should not. The Bible says not to stop meeting together. But you know what? What it doesn't mean just come and sit your butts in a pew. It means as we're together, how can we focus on spurring one another to love and good deeds? How can you do that? How can we make that? You want a New Year's resolution? This would be it. Each day, pray, God, how might I spur somebody else on to love and good deeds? How might I encourage somebody else to find the best in them that it might be offered to the world around them? Not by giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You know, I love it. It's that you can do this anywhere, right? I've got my friend in the back row here, Teresa. I go to the bank over here, the credit union. Teresa's, don't tell anyone, my favorite teller there. And what makes it, why she's my favorite teller there is because just by going up, there is this smile, there is this warmth, there is this engagement that she offers. It's not just transacting the business of the banking, it is the human contact that comes. And I know, Teresa, you don't do that because you make lots of money there. I got a hunch you do that because you enjoy that interaction, that connection that comes through connecting with people. That's a starting place. I was a little bit envious this week. My wife went out to lunch a couple times without me. It happens. But as she came back, from each time that she was out, she came back a happier wife. And I don't think it's just because I wasn't there. It might have been. But it's because that she was engaging in this thing called connection. And there's something life-giving about that connection. I've got a friend who on Facebook said, "Hey, I'm in a new place. Not doing some of the things I used to do, maybe, and I'm lonely." I'm sorry, Danny, I'm calling you out. But there was a question. "Hey, does anyone want to just kick it?" I love it. I said, "Yeah, isn't that something that we all want?" Again, why do we not? Because we're busy. Because we're focused on other things. Because we're lazy sometimes. Or maybe because we're afraid of that rejection. What if I put it out there, I want to kick it with somebody and no one responds? That would be crushing. Because we yearn, we desire for it. And again, connection with other people is not unique to the church. But the church was created exactly for that purpose. This is what we are called to do. This is what we were intended for. When God gave us this connection with Himself through Jesus Christ, that was part of that love the Lord part. But the other part, He says, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to create something called the church. So your mission this week, folks, is to be the church, to consider how you can spur one another on to love and to good deeds. Simple things, simple connections that we are invited to make. Let us pray. Father, I thank You, God, that You have made us in this way, that we desire to have these connections, God, even though we often work against ourselves. Father, as we look to you, God, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself. Yes, please do. But also open for us our eyes to see how we might engage with others. Find that deep need, that very human part of us, being met in the one another-ness of being together. In Jesus' name, amen.